5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the very first edition of the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. Jacob, I've talked to you on the air a few times, but first time getting you in the studio, my friend. Yeah, look at that. Live studio audience. Susan and Cheryl just absolutely love you. Great to have you in the studio, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
You ready to rock and roll? It's game week. It's officially game week.
Let's do it.
You got to be chomping at the bit, aren't you?
Yeah. No, it's been a long time coming.
He's just tired of going at each other for the last several weeks. Now you guys have an opponent coming up, and it's a short week. Not really a short week because it's the first game of the season, but it's a short week for us. Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Coming up, man. That doesn't get much better than that.
No. Season opener on a Thursday. Get down there on a Wednesday. So everything feels like it's condensed, but I think we're getting ready.
Is it good to have that, though, that this is your first week of the season being on a Thursday rather than like week four or five on a Thursday? Because football's all about, you know, repetition schedules and all that stuff. So I suppose if you're going to have kind of a wonky week, an early week, it would be week one, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it gives you the chance to, you know, extend your game week a little bit into fall camp towards the end of it to kind of start prepping. And then we're going into week two. We have our first home opener. Gives us a little bit of a longer week going into week two.
Prepare for that. No question about it. All right, Jacob. So we're going to, obviously, throughout the course of these shows, we're going to be talking about the games. We're going to be preparing for the games. You give us as much as you possibly can without giving anything away. I know Coach Lamb's probably like, don't give him the playbook or anything like that. We'll ask, but we won't get it. But for our listeners today, as we get this season started, we want to know who Jacob Sermon is. You know, obviously our producer knows your background right off the bat. He said something about the Huskies and all that stuff. But you have a rich football background, and I think that's why the prospect, when we found out you were coming to UNC, folks were so excited about what you would potentially bring to this program.
Yeah. No, I've been blessed to be experienced a lot of different football programs, a lot of different great cultures and coaching staffs. And to finally be here and finish my career out, graduate with a master's here, is a real honor.
What do you what's the master's in?
Sports coaching and administration.
Okay, so is that like coaching? Is mm-hmm. that something down? Obviously, well after your football career, mm-hmm. coaching is something you want to get into.
Yeah, I just feel like I have so much experience with different offensive coordinators, different head coaches, being around different programs and the way they've been ran. That experience, to me at least, can be hopefully passed down to, you know, future generations, and that's something that I think I'm passionate about.
I mean, just from the little that I know about you and then what I've heard about you, it seems like that could be an easy path for you, being a coach at some point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially as a quarterback, you get to experience a lot of different sides of the game, and so a lot of that experience, in my opinion, can be easily translated to a lot of different positions and a lot of different situations.
All right, so talk to us a little bit about last year. It was an interesting year for everybody, I think. Of course, I think everybody's ready to turn that page and get into this Ed Lamb style, this Ed Lamb era. But I was joking with you a little bit during, you know, as we were waiting for the show to start up. We talked a lot about you on this show last season, and specifically, my producer Angel would mention it. He's like, Sermon's the guy. That's the guy. I mean, a lot of respect for Dylan McCaffrey. We've worked with him on some of these shows, but it just seemed like when you were in, there was a little bit of a spark on that offensive side of the ball. What was last year like for you personally, man?
You know, it's interesting from a lot of different people. There's a lot of different perspectives out there. And one of the things I have to give credit to the McCaffreys and their recruiting process to get me here, is they're very honest. And I knew what I was getting into before I got here. And I really felt like I had a presence or a pushing, and God kind of had a plan for me to get me here and trust his process no matter what that looked like. And so part of that process to me was a little bit humbling and a little bit of patience. And those are things I've prayed for and I've wanted in my life. And yet, you know, I had to experience some of those moments of potential frustration or moments of you know, just conflict to fully appreciate what he was, you know, presenting me in those times. And so, you know, I had probably the most joy I've ever had last season just playing the game of football, which is strange considering I wasn't the guy all the way through. And there was times where I felt like I could have played and helped the team. But just taking a step back from it and appreciating where I was, enjoying and feeling gratitude for my coaching staff and the players on the team and the opportunities I still had to even play ball, I think it really gave me a newfound appreciation for where I am and then allowed me to, you know, just really stay present in every moment kind of leading up to what would be this year.
You kind of strike me as a guy where even if it is a frustrating situation, you're doing your best to try to find the positive and look for that positive. And clearly you did that last season.
Yeah, and I think I have to credit my parents and my mom for instilling some quality values in me. And that wasn't always the case. I mean, I could think back to early in my career at different places where, you know, stuck in a similar situation, I've been much more frustrated, or I would have checked out, or I would have found excuses to why I might not be playing or why I might not be succeeding in the way I think I can. And a lot of, I think, the maturity and the growth process for me, at least, was finding the light in the situations and then still using whatever platform I have to build the people up around me. And then ultimately, like Dylan, for example, is great. He's one of my best friends. I root for him. I have nothing but respect for him. And so, you know, kind of maturing to the point where rooting for his success didn't take away from my success at all. You know, it doesn't reflect on me poorly or in any way to root for him and wish him the best. And I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. And I thought I was able to help the team when my name was called, and also support him the best I could when it was his time. And so, you know, that from an outsider's perspective can be strange, just because, you know, you're a competitor and you want to play. But also, I mean, feeling the moment of, you know, preparation and kind of feeling my journey all the way up to now, I think that's really prepared me a lot for hopefully a successful year this year.
It's always such an interesting thing in football. I mean, every position, guys are competing with each other. You know, your teammates, but, you know, if there's a guy starting above you, you want to take his spot. But the quarterback specifically, like, there's no, you know, you see defenses, maybe the guy's not the starting linebacker, but he's coming in for a few plays. For the most part, starting quarterback is the guy. So you do have to have a really good head about you, a great head on your shoulders, because you want to be that guy, but you also want to be supportive of the guy in front of you, because that's what other guys will look at. Say, well, he's a leader. He supported that guy when he wasn't the starting quarterback or whatever. So we want to better model what he's doing. So it is a fine, an interesting balance to watch. You're listening to the Jacob Sermon Show, presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. All right, so Central Michigan, you spent time with, obviously Washington, your background there. What was it about UNC from the beginning? Obviously, we know it wasn't Ed Lamb, it was Ed McCaffrey and that crew. What was it that, you know, about Greeley, the University of Northern Colorado, that made you said, I want this place to be where I give my last couple of years of football?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a multitude of reasons. The least sexy of which would be I was tired of the recruiting process.
Done with it, right?
I'd been through a lot of it. You know, high school, coming out as a bigger recruit, I'd heard every pitch in the book. You know, every reason why I should commit to there or this, where. And then going to Central Michigan, that was a strictly business decision for me. I had made a really good relationship with the offensive coordinator there, to which I committed to. And then, unfortunately, he took a job at the Miami Dolphins a couple weeks after I committed, or after I got there.
Wow.
Which is, you know, I'm happy for him, and that's an opportunity that, you know, you can't say no to. So, you know, I wish him the best, and we still have a good relationship. So there's been a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of, you know, I've had 5 head coaches and 7 offensive coordinators in my short time in college football.
And you remember all their names, right?
Every single one. And I've learned a lot from each one. I still keep in contact with all of them. I think I have a good relationship with the staffs and the administration that I've been to, both at Central Michigan and at Washington. And that's something I kind of take pride of, because, you know, if I want to get into coaching or administration someday, I think those relationships can
no
come
question.
Back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I was ending up at UNC, my perspective was different. I knew this was going to be the last place I went. And I love Colorado. I knew that. And I knew the situation that was here. It was evident. I knew every place in the world has politics, except at least here, I knew exactly what I was getting into. I enjoyed Dylan. I liked the image, the ideals that we had set forth, you know, whether or not we executed them or not, the vision was there. And so I was excited about that. And it's closer to home, and, you know, I felt comfortable here.
So when obviously we find out later that UNC and Ed McCaffrey are parting ways, was it were you doubtful that you would stick around, or was it always, hey, this is that shot and I'm going to stay here? 'Cause you said kind of tired of that process anyway. Or did it take a guy like Ed Lamb to come in and you go, no question, I'm there? What was your thought process when you first heard that UNC and Ed McCaffrey were moving on?
I heard that, and the first thing, I called my dad, and we kind of chuckle about, you know, a new OC and another head coach. And so kind of restarting this process yet again. But I have to give a lot of credit to Darren Dunn. our AD. He was amazing in this process. He had a leadership committee of players built and allowed us to kind of not aid in the selection, but give him some of the pointers that we're really looking for in a coach. And I feel like I had a big voice in that, just being around so many coaches and so many programs, a lot of great programs, a lot of really winning coaches.
Yeah.
And so drawing from experience from those experiences, hey, let's coach, you know, offer this expertise. This high had a really hands-on mentality in this aspect of the game. He was great in just keeping us in the loop with that. And so he called me the night they hired Ed Lamb before it was officially announced, and I was able to get on the phone call with him. And I really never had any intention of leaving, but I was excited to learn what direction we're going to go with this program, what our offensive style is going to be, what his, you know, philosophy was going to be. And so I was able to communicate with him pretty quickly and really, you know, buy in again just to what his vision is and what this program can do.
Well, he seems like a guy, and again, I'm not going back on the past, but you mentioned, okay, Ed McCaffrey comes in with his staff. They have a vision. Did it live up to those expectations? Probably not in the grand scheme of things, because ultimately Ed McCaffrey's not the head coach of the UNC Bears anymore. But when Ed Lamb comes in, I got to tell you, I grew up an Ed McCaffrey fan. So when I first met him, I'm awestruck. I'm like, Ed, this is amazing. But then as I got to know him, I wondered, okay, is this the guy that's going to make sense for UNC? Maybe he'll go on to make sense somewhere else. I don't know. When I meet Ed Lamb, and I've had him on this show several times, I've met him in person a few times, I don't get this different sense. I get it's a what you see is what you get kind of guy. What he's telling you, what he's saying in the plan is, my guess, and you know better than me, is that stuff just plays out on the field just like he says it, so far anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think one of his big themes, and I have a ton of respect for this, is he has a concept called you run you. And it's basically like, you know, you're the responsible of you. I'm not going to sit here babysit you. I'm not going to sit here and force you to go to study hall every day because you might got to be in one of your classes. Like, you run you. Be an adult. Be a professional. We're going to treat you like that. And should you show us that, you know, you can't handle those responsibilities, then we'll take, you know, some of those freedoms back. But starting off a team when you come in new, say, hey, listen, you run you. I don't know you yet, but I'm going to show you trust. I'm going to give you responsibilities that I believe that you should earn. And we're going to set forward kind of in that culture, in that aspect. I think it shows a lot of professionalism. I think it sets a standard in a culture of like, listen, man, if we're gonna succeed, if we're going to do the things that we hope to achieve, this is the standard that's going forward. And so it starts with him, obviously, and it trickles down from there. And so him coming in right away and off the bat, kind of setting that standard, I think a lot of guys immediately respected that and have bought in.
It just sounds like it, you know, and I'm hearing it not just from players, but from community leaders, too, where they sit down with Ed Lamb and they just kind of get it. I think, again, initially people, Ed McCaffrey, you're starstruck, and then you get to know him, and maybe you have a different opinion. I don't know, one way or the other. But Ed Lamb, maybe some people followed his career and what he did, Southern Utah and BYU, maybe they didn't. But then they sit down with him and go, that guy just seems like he fits what this program could be potentially. Jacob, I've been covering this Bears team for so long, man. I was there in the before Ed McCaffrey, the Ernest Collins Jr. days. Then obviously Ed McCaffrey, you're hopeful there. It's been a rough go ever since the Bears ultimately declared that they were going to be a Division I FCS team. I was in college. I was, a long time ago. I'm very old compared to you. 2005, you know, and I remember like the year before that, they were making that transition. And I was writing for the local paper, The Mirror. And I remember interviewing the coaching staff and players, and like, people don't realize how tough of a transition this is. And it is. We didn't know how tough it was going to be, but I think people look at you and I think they look at Ed Lamb and go, this might be that shot. This might be there might be a chance there to get this program back on the right track where we wanted it to be when we ultimately made that decision to become a Division I FCS team.
Yeah. And I think if anyone's going to lead us there, it's Coach Lamb's vision, his staff that he's assembled. The expectations and preparation that they put on us, those are expectations of a winning Division I program. And I think you can't ever get there unless you believe it to begin with. And so I think the belief is there within the program and is there within the coaching staff. And I think that will start to bleed out into the community soon.
Jake, so where are you from originally?
I grew up when I was a kid in Texas, but then I'd say I'm from the Seattle area.
Okay, the Seattle area. What is it, Bothell?
Bothell.
We just have a texter, Holyoke. I see Jacob is from Bothell, Washington. I also see a 1962 Life magazine recognized a A gigantic Christmas tree in Bothell is the largest in the world at that time?
Could be.
You don't have that historical fact there. 112, what was that? Is that 112, am I reading that wrong, inches or feet?
No, this was a grand fir tree that was 112 feet tall. Yes. Survived two great fires in downtown Bothell. It was nicknamed Lucky by the people of Bothell.
You're going to have to ask some people about that.
I'm going to have to go back in town, check that out.
You never know what you're going to get from our texters here, man. I'm asking you football stuff, and we're talking about Christmas trees here. It died in the late 70s, so do you think its death was due to Christmas music being played too soon, or did it fade because of a disease? Maybe people played Christmas music too soon. Maybe. What's your thoughts on that? Before we leave.
I have a hot take on Christmas music.
I want to hear it.
No, I can't stand Christmas
music. Oh, my gosh, really?
No, my girlfriend hates it. I have very little holiday spirit around this particular holiday.
Angel, you got to write that down. No Christmas music during the Jacob Sermon Show.
Knocking some points there.
I just think of walking around Nordstrom's as a kid with my mom in the mall, just mad that I'm there and just listening to these tunes over and over and over in the mall speakers, thinking, man, this sucks.
Do you like Christmas music at all? Like,
no.
Like Christmas Eve?
I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I like Christmas. I just don't like the...
Do you like the lights and all that stuff?
No.
No.
It just seems like so much work, man. It's like you're up there on the ladder. Nobody's happy, you know? I mean, you're happy, but are you really?
Well, you got to get those new lights that they're putting out now. Mm. Those, they're just like projector thingies. They just shine up onto your house.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
I'm getting bored.
So you're not like the lawn decorations, the giant snowman, none of that stuff?
And I'll do it. Because eventually, I'm sure when I'm to that stage in my life, my wife's gonna be like, "Oh, Jake, we need to put the lights up." And I'll be like, "This is a battle you're really gonna win right now." Probably not.
Dang it, Angel! I thought we had another Christmas music almost ready for September 1st. Man, we're almost ready for that.
Quarterback, you got to have a certain edge to you, and if that's the edge,
true.
No Christmas music.
Just, it's an anti-Christmas music guy.
We'll have you on. So we'll have you on late into the in November. We might have a Christmas hat here, and you can decide whether or not you're going to wear that or not.
You know, the one song I will listen to is Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Strangely enough, that's the only song.
That's the one.
I can get down for that. Yeah. The Little Drummer Boy.
What about just the instrumental stuff, like without words in it?
Too cheerful, too fake. I'm not sure if it's authentic, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's listening, oh, I'm happy. Are you really happy? Or are you just financially distressed? I don't know, man.
This is good. This is stuff. I'm into this, man. So like the Mariah Carey stuff.
No,
man,
no way.
I'll admit, that's pretty bad.
No.
The old school stuff, though, like the 50s and 60s stuff.
Maybe.
That's not bad. Jacob Sermon is joining us in studio. We're going to be doing this every single Monday. You're starting the show off, man. This is a great way for us to start it. So I love doing these shows. We've actually been doing these player shows for about the last, pretty much right when the NIL thing became a thing. And we just thought, man, how cool would it be? You know, we hear from the coaches every week. We got the UNC Coaches Show coming up tomorrow night. We're excited about that. But why not give you a full show where you can tell us how much you hate Christmas music every week? That's what the people are here for. They want that insight. Okay, so you're married.
No, I'm not married.
You're not married.
No.
Going to be married?
Someday.
Someday. But you have a girlfriend.
I do.
Okay. So I don't want to put the pressure on you there.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been dating? And you don't have to answer
for a while, but we've been dating for a couple months now.
Okay, a couple of months.
Yeah,
so
no,
that conversation is not down the road.
No, not quite yet.
Okay. All right. I just don't want to put the pressure on you throughout the course of the week. Okay, so that's cool. What else should we know about you? We're going to talk a lot of football, but what else should we know about you as we progress here in these programs?
Oh man, trying to think of what I do outside of football.
What are your hobbies? Like
fly fish. I'm a big fly fisherman.
All right. There you go.
I have two dogs, so that's pretty much my life outside of football. Run them, take them swimming, fetch. I spend a lot of time with them.
So you're an outdoorsy guy.
Yeah. If I could spend all day outdoors, I would. Golf is probably my next biggest thing. I get about 18 holes in every day in the morning. I wake up.
Time do you get up in the morning?
Like 6 o'clock.
I was going to say, you probably got to get up pretty early.
I get the first tee time. So like in the summertime, I wake up at 5:20, tee off at 6 o'clock, get 18. I'll play by myself. I can play quick. Get 18 in real quick. Go meet with the ROC before our lift, and then, we're running and lifting at 9 o'clock. So by the time we're done in the summer with lifting and a run, it's let's say it's 11 o'clock. I've gotten 18 holes of golf in, met with our coach, lift and ran, and now the rest of the day is whatever we can imagine.
Do you just feel accomplished when you get up early?
I
like getting up early too, man. It's the best thing because you can do like 3 hours more than what people that are still sleeping are doing. You can
100%.
Complete a lot of things, whether it's something you enjoy doing or something you need to get done. Either way, you're getting it done. You're getting it taken care of.
Yeah. Like today, for example, woke up. I slept in a little bit. Got up a little bit little bite to eat, and then hit the range, a little short game, some putting in, come on the show, and then I'll go take my dog swimming a little bit, eat some lunch, and then roll right into meetings.
What's the diet situation like for you? Do you are you on a strict diet, or do you have to be, considering you're a quarterback, you're constantly working out, moving, it's not got to be something so strict for you?
It's not terrible. I eat clean. I'm trying to keep weight on right now, just because I feel like I can take hits and withstand a season a little bit better when I'm heavier.
I can help you with the keeping weight on thing. Yeah, just a lot of burgers. Just see what happens.
No, my girlfriend Morgan, she can cook now. She'll throw on some grilled zucchini and some shrimp and make a little whole deal, and that's freaking delicious. So I try to get that in whenever we can. But I mean, shoot, I eat a bunch of pulled pork for lunch. I made a meal prep, a bunch of that, some breakfast pizzas in the morning, and then we'll have like team dinners after practice.
Okay. Who's your? Do you have a best friend on the team right now? You mentioned you had a really good relationship with Dylan McCaffrey, but how about current guys on the team? Are there certain guys that you just already feel pretty close to?
Yeah, I have a great group of friends. I'd say we have a poker group that plays shoot all the time, and so we got a bunch of guys: Jordan Napke, Tama, Dustin Johnson, Peyton Polson, Dylan Emery, who's a safety last year, Hank Gibbs, he's a quarterback, new quarterback this year. I'm growing really close to him. So we got a lot of guys. I'm sure I'm missing one or two, but. You know, we play poker as much as we can, so we hang out with that group of guys a lot, and then...
Were you playing, like, Hold'em and stuff?
Yeah, Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, it's, like, the only one I know. So. Yeah. I'm not very good at it, but, you know.
I wish I could say I was good, too.
Terrible with it.
My buddies love when I come play. All right. at least we could take service money.
Yeah. Jacob, when we come back, let's talk about that supporting cast on the offensive side of the ball, too, because I think we want to learn more about what this offense is going to ultimately look like. We know you can sling the ball. Who are you throwing it to? Let's talk to our listeners about it. This is the Jacob Sermon Show, presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. It's already a blast, man. We're already learning a lot about you. Things not to do. Angel, scratch out the Christmas music that we had prepared for the next segment. We'll be right back 27 minutes after the hour. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Look at all these connections here. We do. We have the Jacob Sermon Show that airs Monday. We have the Clay Millen Show that airs Tuesdays. I'm trying to keep it all straight, Angel. We catch up with Hugh Millen every single Monday because, of course, he covered Seattle for so long, and we're going to do the Russell Wilson watch every week and maybe see what's going on with Drew Locke. But you know all those guys.
Yeah,
you know the Millens.
All from that neck of the woods up in Washington.
Are you guys good? Like friends?
I'd say yeah. We are.
Know each other well?
I mean, we grew up doing you know, quarterback camps up there, playing each other in high school football.
What a small world, man.
Crazy, huh?
This area must be good for like, Washington stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar. A lot of the, I mean, summertime in Seattle is, I'd say, right up here with Colorado. We get more sunshine here through the rest of the year, which I love.
But, well, you being the outdoorsy guy that you are, you probably really do love this area quite a bit. So, well, that's crazy. We might have to do like a crossover show at some point with you guys. That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun.
We're getting excited for the season, which starts in like 3 days. I can't believe we're already here, but we're pumped to see what you can do, what this team can do. Very excited for Ed Lamb. Talk to us a little bit about the supporting cast. You know, obviously some of those guys that just jump out at you, Ty Arrington, Alec Pell, a lot of people know, you know, what he's done in his career. But those weapons on the offensive side of the ball, talk to us about who we should expect some pretty big things from this coming season.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Pell's an easy one to start off with. He's my roommate. We live together. Kyle Helbig from CSU, another one of my roommates. I think those two are going to have a really, really big season this year. Our offense was able to highlight their playmaking abilities. Obviously, on the outside, I think our receiver room is as deep as it has ever been. Guys like Ty Arrington, Zane, Jamari, he's another guy that came in new, Jordan Riles from UNLV, Blake Haggard, he's really stepped up. So we got a lot of guys that are poised and ready to make a significant impact. And then our offensive line room is looking awesome.
Big
boys.
Holy cow.
Jackson Hoops is looking as good as he ever has. We got a freshman that's getting in the rotation a little bit. Jack, he's looking great. I mean, everyone. I mean, a whole freshman class has stepped up a lot. They're all contributing. And we got returners that are really taking a stand. So I think we got, you know, the offensive line I've never been happier with. So we got some dudes up there that are.
It's got to be encouraging for you when you line up and you see these massive men in front of you. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, okay, at least they're huge. You know, they can protect me for a while.
Absolutely. And I got a great relationship with them. I feel really lucky to have, you know, been able to foster that from the last year. And
sure.
Have a lot of guys return and come back and obviously being able to step up in roles that we need them to be.
Yeah, Hoops is 321 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just some big dudes.
Big guy.
Some big guys for sure.
I'll tell you, that guy's good at poker too. Now he'll take your money.
That's one of them to watch out for?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to remember that. Okay, so we're getting into that. We're looking at the season coming up on Thursday. Offensively, what can you tell us about this team? I mean, I just get this sense, and I know maybe it's just too easy for me to say this, but just the sense of a balanced attack. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I think our key, our kind of vision and our identity will be hopefully through explosives, whether that's on the ground, whether that's in the air. Coach Peterson, our offensive coordinator, has done a fantastic job of really highlighting our playmakers' abilities. Giving me outlets to, you know, give them the ball in space, let them make their plays, and really hone into what our, you know, our strengths are, and then try to amplify those best we can versus whatever defensive look we're getting.
Well, and going up against, I mean, it seems like this defense is going to be pretty good.
Yeah,
you mentioned Jordan Napke. We talk about David Hogue. Those guys are just absolute mm-hmm. beasts. I expect the defense to be pretty good, and that's got to in turn make this offense pretty good because you've been going up against those guys for the last however many weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of credit to Coach Hadley and their defensive staff. They've been giving us some really hard looks. They've had, you know, their defensive identity is awesome. I think they're really going to put pressure on other teams to identify the coverages, to be able to force their way up the box, pass on our DBs. I mean, our offense, our defensive backs, can't speak highly enough for them. They've given me great looks all camp. Our linebackers, our defensive line, man, we got some playmakers up there. So I'm excited to, you know, be able to lean on them in games where we're going to need them.
Well, we'll take a look at Abilene Christian coming up. They got them on Thursday on the road. Nice, might be nice and cool there, I'm guessing,
Texas.
No, probably pretty toasty. Okay. Not an indoor stadium? No? Come on. We got to get something going there. We'll talk about that matchup. That game's going to be right here on KFKA. Pre-game coverage starts at 5 o'clock with the opening kickoff at 6. So Blake Olson, Matt Gator will be on the call for that. We'll wrap up with Jacob on the other side. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykin, former Darren Dunn, and you're listening.
Welcome back in to the Jacob Sermon Show. Absolutely love this, man. It's been awesome just getting to know you a little bit here in studio this week. And then we're going to be doing this every single Monday. You're probably going to get tired of us. So just, you know, just you got to pace yourself a little bit. The questions will get weirder as we go. But a lot of them will still be football related, of course. I do want to thank Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. He's been a huge supporter of everything that we do here. And when we talked to him about the idea of working with Jacob, he was pumped because the idea of hardworking guys that are out there trying to make their situation better just is really appealing to him. And I think that appeals to a lot of people. So I think you got a lot of fans in your corner ready for Thursday Night Football.
I hope so. I think we have a lot of things to prove, and I think this community will be pleased with the direction this football team is going.
So talk to us a little bit, what you can anyway, about Abilene Christian. Pretty good team last year. I think they were 7-4. They had Keith Patterson at the time. He was their new coach from last year, but he came from Texas Tech as the defensive coordinator. So I think their expectations are pretty high based on what he was able to do in his first season with the Wildcats.
Mm-hmm. No, they're a great team. I have a lot of respect for what they have as far as their game plan and their personnel. I think we're going to find a really, really strong defense there that will, you know, have definitely their flavor of different techniques, different coverages that are going to give us a little bit of a run for our money. But I think, you know, I got like a lot of credit to Coach Peterson and the prep he's done throughout the summer and kind of building up our preparation for this game week.
Does it seem like a strength of theirs might be the linebacking core? Just my kind of initial previews that I'm busting through here. It seems like the defensive line, there's a lot of raw talent there, but fairly young. Corners, there's some good corners returning. Mm-hmm. But is the linebacking core kind of a strength that you're hearing about, at least at this stage? Or is it kind of, you're looking at the whole thing, you know, this defense as a whole, saying, you know what, we view it all as a strength. We have to prepare for what could potentially be the best.
Yeah. You know, I think my position is unique just because, you know, I have to deal with every single position on the field. So I see it through a very, you know, wide lens. I know their DBs are back. They return a lot of guys in their secondary. Their backer core is good. They have a lot of really cerebral guys that can, you know, move the guys, get them in the right spots, as well as just, you know, playmaking talent. Their defensive line is good. I mean, they're a deep defense. They have a sound technique, a great system. We'll see a lot of man coverage that will test us. You know, just being able to get off the release, being able to win, you know, versus man. So they have a lot of trust in their guys, being able to put them in positions to succeed. And with that comes, you know, we just have to, you know, use the preparation we've made and the identification that we've been able to study through and hopefully find ways to, you know, highlight those.
Jacob, for some of our listeners out there, when they hear you say, okay, they run a lot of man coverage, so that's going to be interesting how we kind of change, not necessarily change up how we do things, but just getting off that ball, off your getting your route started quickly. Explain that kind of in layman's terms to some of our listeners, what that means to a quarterback when you start scouting out a defense and you notice they're primarily running a lot of that man defense.
Mm-hmm. So if I see a team that's running a lot of man, just big picture, first thing I think about is, all right, great, they have a good, strong front seven, which means they have trust in their DBs saying, listen, we got a strong front seven. We can get pressure with five. We can get pressure with four. And we'll put our DBs on islands knowing that we can protect the perimeter with our defensive backs, one-on-one coverage, and then allow our front seven, which would be the defensive line and linebackers, to make plays, have a strong box, which prevents the run, and then force the QB to throw the ball down the field. And so if I'm a defensive coordinator calling a defense – with a man heavy flavor, it basically tells you our DBs, we have enough trust in them that they can cover one on one without any help. So a lot of teams that run zone coverage will allow their DBs to, you know, play man techniques but have help inside or have help over the top, which allows them, if they get beat, it's not the end of the world. Man coverage teams have a little bit less of that forgiveness, but it allows them to be stronger in the box versus the run. It allows them to bring pressure more often so they can blitz the quarterback without giving up, you know, holes in their defense without being, you know, gap sound. So from a man perspective, it tells you that they have trust in their DBs. They have faith in their front seven to get home and stop the run. And they want to be a little bit more aggressive in the long term.
So then from an offensive standpoint, you look at that and say, man, if our offensive line can hold up and just give us that time, then your weapons, your receivers, your tight ends, they're going to be able to make plays. Because, again, great corners, they can only cover for so long, right?
Sure.
And if their play breaks down or whatever and a guy starts running toward you, I mean, it gets tough to chase guys down. So then does the pressure really become on that offensive line when you're seeing a man defense?
Mm-hmm. It definitely can be. You could also see it as, well, how can we get this ball out of our hands quickly? How can we establish a run game even in a stacked box? If you can do that, then it forces them to be in more zone coverage, have a little bit more gap sound, man and zone responsibilities from their backers. So there's a lot of different ways to attack it. I think our coaching staff has done a great job, you know, identifying a game plan that will hopefully find a balanced approach with that. Because, you know, with that, they're not going to live in man coverage. They're going to have switches. They're going to have zone coverage. They're going to cover four. They're going to cover three. And so, from a disguise package, being able to identify, is it a man, is it a zone? How can that change my progressions? How does that change our offensive, you know, identity in this particular play? There's a lot of nuances that, you know, kind of go hand in hand with a really strong defense like this. And a defense coordinator that's going to call a sound game, but also is going to call a game to obviously, you know, win.
Yeah, well, and we talked about maybe some of the strengths. They have an interesting group of corners there, too. A couple of seniors with Patrick Jolly and Anthony Egbo, and then a transfer from Oklahoma, too. So, I mean, they have some interesting players, for yeah. Sure. So, Jacob, my man, we're excited to see what you guys can do against this team. Am I right on this, Angel? Maybe, Jacob, you know that UNC holds the series lead in this 2-0. Just two times.
How about
just
that?
Two times. Back in 2016 and 2015. So I wouldn't really call it a rivalry.
Not quite yet.
But we'll get there. We'll get there, man. Cannot wait for Thursday. So excited for this, man. How about Monday? We come in with positive vibes. Let's just talk about a dub.
Let's do it.
Let's just talk about a dub.
Let's do something cool.
All right, my man. Jacob, appreciate you so much. Excited to get to know you, but you know, most of all, just really excited to see this program
yeah,
get back on the right track.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
You having me.
We'll let you you go. What are you up to after this, Freddie? You got the dogs?
Get a little dogs out running.
Get the dogs out running.
Get some treatment and hop on some film.
All right, my friend. Well, good luck on Thursday. Cannot wait. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
All right. It's been the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. The Bears kick off their season on Thursday night. Pre-game coverage starts at 5 o'clock with the opening kickoff at 6 with Blake Olson and Matt Gaider on the call. 47 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, it's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.